Jennifer Collins, welcome to Dallas and welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
You cut your teeth as a lawyer in Washington, D.C., as a federal prosecutor specializing in homicide cases. How did that job prepare you for this one?
To be successful in both jobs, you need to be a storyteller. As a prosecutor, you're faced with a room full of 20 citizens who couldn't figure out how to get out of jury duty. And you need to convince them to understand often a complicated, deeply painful story and hopefully have them reach the fair and just result. As a law professor, you're faced with a room of skeptical law students who don't always understand the beauty and complexity of the law they're about to study. And as an administrator, you have to be able to tell the story of your institution.
Was there a murder case you handled that kind of still sticks with you?
The murder case that definitely still sticks with me was actually a murder case that involved a college campus. It was a series of murders that occurred at Gallaudet University.
Mm-hmm. That's the University for the Deaf.
Yes, University for the Deaf in Washington, D.C. It's a very close-knit community, and when they found out it was one of their own that had murdered two of his fellow students, it was really devastating. The two young men who were killed were students who had overcome tremendous adversity in their life, learning to work with their deafness and going off to a university, and then just to be brutally cut down in their freshman year by a classmate was just a devastating experience for the whole community.
Let's talk about SMU. It's considered the number two law school in Texas and around the top 50 nationally. The previous dean, John Atanasio, was criticized for not being able to move the needle. What's one thing you're going to do to move that needle?
Well, rankings are notoriously sticky. The University of Rochester just did a really fascinating study where they determined it would take something like $1 billion to move one or two places in the rankings. So one of the most important things I think that we need to do is be sure that we are doing the best work we possibly can, that we're giving our students the best education with the best job outcomes, and that the rest of the legal community throughout the United States knows about the amazing work our faculty is doing and the success our students are having. If we do that, I'm hopeful the rankings will follow.
I saw a pretty remarkable statistic about law school admission. Only about half as many students took the LSAT last year compared to 4 years ago. As a newly minted dean, does that scare you?
I think it's definitely a cause for concern and something that we need to pay attention to. Fortunately, SMU is an outstanding law school and one of the best economies in the country. And thus far, we continue to be very successful in attracting students. But yes, it's something that we absolutely need to pay attention to. And every law school in the country is paying attention to it.
At the same time, new law schools keep popping up. The University of North Texas just opened one in downtown Dallas. Texas A&M just took over the Texas Wesleyan Law School in Fort Worth. Throw in the state's top law school at UT Austin, and the competition's pretty brutal. How do you set SMU apart?
Well, first, I welcome the addition of Texas A&M and the University of North Texas. Dallas has really been unique among major cities in only having one law school. Mm-hmm. Many smaller cities survive with many more law schools. And I think it's an opportunity to make sure we're serving the citizens of Dallas as effectively as we can. There are so many desperate legal needs out there. Just look at what's happening with the immigrant crisis on the border. And if our students and UNT's students can play a role in helping with that situation, so much the better. And I also think it's a chance to create an even richer intellectual community among the various law schools in Dallas.
Okay, I've got a really tough question for you. You're on a desert island. You have one phone call to deliver emergency food to you and your family. You have two options, Little Richard's Barbecue in Winston-Salem and Lockhart in Dallas. What's it going to be, Carolina Barbecue or Texas Barbecue?
Without question, Texas Barbecue. I don't know if you've had Carolina Barbecue, but it's vinegar-based. And I this is sacrilege in North Carolina, but I never understood the appeal of vinegar barbecue. So it is Texas Barbecue for me all the way.
Jennifer Collins, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, it was wonderful to spend some time with you. Thank you for having me.